in Mark chapter 5 this morning. I had a boss at one point who was subject to severe mood swings. You never knew on any given day whether you were going to be praised or ripped. We would huddle in a corner, those of us who worked for him, and we would discuss what kind of a mood is he in today. When he was angry with you, his eyes bulged, his veins protruded, and he had this one vein in the middle of his forehead that would just thump. And while he was giving it to you, there would just, if you even tried to explain, he just got louder and overroared you. You learned just to sit and take it, apologize profusely, gather up what dignity you had left and crawl out of his office and be on your way. One day, my buzzer buzzed on the intercom, and he said, "I'd like to see you down in my office." And I walked down the stairs and through that long building, and I was shaken. My guts were a mess, and I was shivering as I went down and sat in his office. And he said, "Joel, I just wanted you to know you've been doing a fine job, and I'm really proud of the way you've been handling it." I'm sitting there kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know. And it didn't, and it was all good. And I went home that evening, and I told my wife, I said, I've decided to resign. I can't go to work every day just feeling like I was going to get nailed. I couldn't figure out why I got praised when I had done basically the same things I had always been doing. And there were times when you walked in and thought, "Wow, I really did good yesterday." And boom, you know, you get blown apart. But he could be the eye-bulging guy, and he could be the good guy, but you just didn't know what to expect in the world like that. You have friends. And have you ever used that line, "Well, with friends like that, who needs enemies?" And what all's going on? So in the course of just getting along in life, we learn to hide who we really are. And we're careful around especially certain people. And we only want so much of us to show. And they're kind of training us. This is acceptable and that's not acceptable. And you become somebody else. You wear this mask that is acceptable and you want to be loved and appreciated. You don't want to take the fire all the time. One thing I really appreciate about Jesus, he was always Jesus wherever he went. Some people loved him, some hated him. But he was consistent in everything that he did. Today's faith fact is, nothing is impossible for God. And because of that, you can lean into it. You can trust him. Your best friend will sometimes let you down, but not Jesus. He stays steady. He stays consistent. And the reason we can trust him is because nothing is impossible with him. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat, what happened on the other side of the lake? Well, the other side of the lake was Gentile territory. It was full of suspicion and superstitions and idolatry. It was pagan. And Jesus took his guys there. You can imagine they were not well received. In fact, the first guy that welcomed him was a fellow who was filled with a legion of demons. And he fell at his feet, and he fell at Jesus' feet. He said, "Don't torture us." And Jesus ended up delivering the guy. You remember the story? There was a herd of pigs nearby, And they said, don't send us into the abyss, send us into the pigs. And so that's what the Lord did. The pigs rushed down the slope into the lake and they all drown. A point of interest, pigs can swim. So if you have a pig and you're kind of concerned whether it's demon possessed or not, put it in the pool and see what happens. Normally they can swim, but under demon possession, I don't know that that's the case. But you remember also that the townspeople got freaked out because this guy had been a terror. They tied him up. They even chained him. And he would always break loose and wreak havoc once again. And now he's whole and he's well. You would think that the town people would come and say, yay, Jesus. Hey, I got a brother-in-law I would like to, you know, all that. No, they were scared. In their superstition, in their darkness, there was a sense that light was shining. You know, the Bible says people love darkness rather than light. This was a threat to their core ignorance and sin. And so they came, they were afraid. They saw this guy clothed and in his right mind. And it freaked him out. And they said, Jesus, would you go away? Please don't stay here. Maybe they thought if the holy stayed, they'd all die. Maybe they realized their darkness and didn't deserve or couldn't stand in the light. But Jesus wasn't welcome there on that pagan side of the lake. So now he's coming over to this other side, the more Jewish side of the lake, the more scripture learning, believing side of the lake, if you will. You know, nothing is impossible for God. And these people knew that. And they saw Jesus do some wonderful miracles earlier. And so they're always looking for when Jesus shows up because they're ready. They're going to get everybody they know that has a need or a hurt. They're going to bring him to Jesus. They're going to really mob him with all of the needs that they have. And so when the boat lands, as far as the eye can see, there are people waiting for Jesus. I wonder if there wasn't a moment where Jesus didn't wonder which was better, the pagan side where they would leave him alone or the godly side where they just couldn't get enough of him. And everybody had a need and everybody was pressing in. You know, we all realize, I think, everybody has their stuff. Everybody's going through something. I don't know that I know anybody who either personally doesn't have an issue that they're dealing with right now that is significant, some kind of a physical thing, or it's with work, or relatives, or they have somebody that they love dearly who is really going through a dark, dark valley or a painful place, and decisions need to be made and all kind of things are happening. In fact, a lot of people I know are kind of in that sandwich where they're maybe taking care of parents and kids and whatever is going on. It's piling up, isn't it? I remember the first time they sent me to the Hillman Cancer Center. And I walked in. They wanted me to do some blood work. And I gazed into this room. It was a long room. And there were beds on both sides of the walls. And there was that machinery by it. And this is where people go for those treatments. And it took me back that there were so many beds in that one room, in one hospital, in one city, that we needed that much equipment and so on to deal with the issue of cancer that people might be fighting. How many here have ever been hooked up to those machines? You've had treatments or you've been there with somebody who has. Anybody here? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, quite a few. Everybody's got their stuff. So imagine, you know how hard it is to get a doctor's appointment now, 4 months out and all of that. Imagine there's only one guy that can do what nobody else could do, and he just showed up. And so everybody. And while he's in this crowd and they're making their way through, excuse me, I got to get, you know, everybody's shouting out. And one guy comes and drops at Jesus' feet and he pleads. He says, "My daughter is really sick. If you don't come right now, she's going to die." And Jesus is looking at him, and he said, and then others were, and he says, "Okay, buddy, we'll head toward your house." And while that's going on, this lady presses through the crowd, and she reaches down just to touch the hem of his garment, and just needed some help. She'd spent everything she had on doctors. That in itself is an issue, is a problem. She's now broke. She's not only broke, but she can't get a job because she's got an issue of blood. And in a Jewish society, if you're bleeding somehow, you're unclean. And you've got to walk around telling people, "Unclean, unclean." And so they can't come near you. You can't go. She's not going to be in food service or many other things. She's pretty much an outcast. She had some money, but she had to spend it on the doctoring, and now it's just piling up. She doesn't feel well. She's weak. She's got this thing going on. She's a social outcast, and now she's absolutely broke. Statistics tell us that 40% of marriages end in divorce. You'll say, "Oh, I thought it was 50%. It actually has improved a little bit, mostly because a lot of people aren't even bothering getting married in the first place anymore. So it's not really good news. But for people with chronic pain, 75% of them are alone. Whoever could not handle what was happening. So the people who need support the most are having to go it alone. And this dear lady was in that boat. Physical problems, out of money, outcast from society, not going to get any empathy or sympathy. In fact, the thought of the day was, if you have something like that, what did you do to deserve it? You know, because if you were a nice person like me, you wouldn't have that problem. And so therefore, talk about a heavy burden. And she got in her heart and soul, somehow she still believed that God loved her, that God cared, and that if she could touch Jesus, she'd be healed. She somehow believed he cared. I don't know why she thought that. Maybe it was a look. Maybe it was something she heard. Maybe it was just the Spirit within her, the Holy Spirit working on her. But she felt one ray of light, and it came from God. She felt one strand of love, and it was only from the Lord. If I could just touch him, everything would change. So she worked her way down, and she reached out with all she had, and she just grabbed the hem of his garment for a moment, and power flowed out from Jesus and through her body. And oh, she didn't have time to go to the doctor and have a test done. She didn't have time to even look at herself, but she knew. She was strong again for the first time in the longest while. And it was wonderful. Power flowed out from Jesus and through her. And Jesus stops and he asks, Who just touched me?" And the disciples are saying, What do you mean? You're in a crowd. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping into everybody else. And a lot of people, don't you know, they were reaching out to give him an attaboy. "Jesus, you're the man." And others just wanted to touch him as he walked past, and all these things, and just the jostling of the crowd. "What do you mean? Who touched me?" But Jesus knew. You see, there's a difference between touching Jesus and touching Jesus. I always marvel at how the Pharisees and the Sadducees could go toe-to-toe with Jesus and say ignorant stuff. They had the King of Glory within reach, and they had no idea. They were in the presence of the Holy. This lady didn't even need to talk to him, but she knew. everything depends on God, but a lot also depends on us. We used to sing a chorus when I was a kid, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs he'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. It's a popular thing in Pentecostal circles to get to a meeting, to have a certain evangelist or faith healer pray for you, lay hands on you, and all of that. And that's fine. But the real point we need to get to is I need Jesus. He's the one I need. Jesus, I need you. Now, if he directs you to go to somebody for prayer, make a certain meeting, well, you better get there. You know, he knows what he's doing. But there's a lot of times we allow life to beat us down. And we're afraid to exert our faith anymore because we were disappointed in times past. We really didn't like the way some things worked out. And so we like to have a form of religion where we worship and we go through the motions and we do those things. But when was the last time you really got serious with the Lord? And you just laid it all out there. You know, sometimes I have to apologize for God for the way I talk to him. And for some of the things I say, they may come across as disrespectful. But I believe he forgives me because they're born out of faith. Lord, I know you got the goods. And I know you're the only one that can help. And I know that sometimes people have said some things that have tripped your heart. And you have poured out. I remember Moses, you said to Moses, stand back, buddy, I'm going to wipe them all out. And Moses stood in the way and he said, if you're going to take them, take me too. And you relented. I know, God, you do change your heart and mind according to faith, according to prayer, according to need, according to a lot of things. And so I want to know I went down doing my best to implore you to get in your face, to get in your way, to get under your skin. I shared this, I think, on a Wednesday night, but Barb prayed a prayer one night that just really struck me. She was crying and she was in a lot of pain and she said, Lord, every night my daughter gathers her kids around her and they have devotions together and they read the scriptures and they pray for Meemaw, that Meemaw will be healed. And she said, Lord, if not for my sake, but for the sake of those little children, would you show them a miracle? Would you give them the Meemaw that they've wanted and she wants to be? And I laid on my side of the bed and I looked up at God and I said, ignore that one, Lord. Ignore that one if you can. And I didn't mean it disrespectful. But I just, a father's heart, how can a father go through that? And I thought, good prayer, Peach, good prayer. Have we been praying good? Have we been praying well? Do we just go through the motions? Do we reiterate what we said the last time and all of that? Or has it struck our heart so that it could strike? If it doesn't strike ours, if it doesn't stir us, how's it going to stir him? And you've got these needs and I've got these needs. And I trust Jesus. Heal tonight. Wait till glory. That's up to him. I know that in the end we'll say an amen to it and say, God, you are good. She reached out in faith to receive a healing. She reached out in faith. And I know sometimes we chastise ourselves. Well, I probably didn't get healed because I don't pray well enough or I'm not good enough or whatever. It's all up to him. It's a little bit up to him. I love that what that one fellow said in Scripture. Jesus said, all things are possible, only believe. He said, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. How many can identify with that gentleman? I do believe. I'm sure there's a little bit of doubt or whatever in there. Would you help with that too? Where else would I go? I can't go to the hardware store and say, I need some help with my faith. Only the Lord. And so God help me with that part. And he will. This ought to encourage you. Some of the people Jesus healed were dead. They couldn't respond. They couldn't pray well. They had no faith left. They were dead. Do you think that demoniac filled with legion was there saying, hey, please heal me? No. They were begging, don't send us into the abyss. And Jesus decided, I'm going to heal the guy and get rid of the demons. You know, nothing is impossible for God. You may have carried it for 38 years. You might have whatever. Today is the day of salvation. Nothing limits God. You may be in the believing crowd and everybody's trying to get, and a few do every once in a while, and that's great. You may be part of the rejected Jesus crowd, your family and co-workers, and you feel like you're in darkness all week long. But healing flows from Jesus when we put our faith in him. Got issues? Let's just for the next few moments seek Jesus together and trust him for the impossible, shall we? Would you stand with me this morning?